got me excited. What up, everybody? You're always shaking your head during the intro.
Break out the unicorn early.
I know, right? And start muting yourself too while you all while the gimmick is going.
I unmuted, actually. Thank you. But I know James, you know what I'm saying? He's a nostalgic guy. So I figure I'd be nice. It doesn't happen that often anymore. It's a rarity. Let me see if I can make it happen just for James, because he'd be missing out, man. I'd be feeling bad for him. So, hold on, here you go. That drop like James.
It is.
You missed that one?
No, I don't. That's even worse. She looked like she need a sandwich.
Oh, man. Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Objectifying. Well, I don't want to put our name out there and attach it with James over here objectifying our lovely volunteers for our intro. Emphasis on the volunteers. You know, we don't pay them because, you know, AG says they do other things. But we are the WrestleManiacs. I'm the People's Choice, Tom Rodriguez. You got the big IKG and the cigar smoking. Well, are we Mosé drinking?
Oh, we always Mosé drinking. We got this dude who's
for Mosé. I want to double check. I want to let down the people, but you know, the cigar smoking, the Mosé drinking, wheeling, dealing, chick stealing, talking about my girls that be dancing in the video because there's nobody dancing in his. True. Nubian Sumo. Welcome.
Well, I don't need them in the videos.
True. Take that. Bad boy. Bad boy for life. How are you guys today?
I'm alive. I'm awake. I'm here. Wes Carson says hello all.
What up, Wes?
What's up, man?
Hopefully what you happened? Are not a hater like the Nubian Sumo. Speaking of haters, go and tell us about that shirt.
What? Oh, well, that is you talking about him.
Oh, look. Go ahead, sir.
I'm just playing.
Nah, you go ahead.
Nah, you go ahead.
Nah, you know, being that it's the NCAA season, I figured it's time for the main event. Pull out a little Mark Henry on y'all tonight.
Respect. So what you smoking, what you drinking?
Okay, tonight we got the Lost Angel, CAA 2022 from Crown Heads. Pretty spicy stick. I haven't had one of these in a while. It's been sitting in my humidor, and it's gotten a little spicy on me. It's gotten picked up some little black pepper notes in it from sitting for a while, which I'm very much enjoying. And it's been a while since I did this. I was a little perplexed in my choice of libation tonight. So I figured I'll let y'all decide what I was drinking tonight. So keeping on the basketball theme, we have choice number one. Gentleman's Cut, a Kentucky bourbon brought to us by Steph Curry. Or selection number two would be Digits, brought to us by Scottie Pippen.
I say,
what do y'all think?
Just mix them.
I ain't mixing nothing.
Since we're talking about
Lord, no, we want to keep the
Keep what?
We want to keep the Midnight Rider here. I mean, I'm sorry. We want to keep the Nubian Sumo here.
Oh,
I am not mixing these. Believe that.
Know your show, but, KG. No, what you know what day of the week it is?
It's Sandy.
So why don't you just pour, mix them together?
No. I say go with the digits because I want to know how that tastes.
Digits, okay. Yes.
Now let me ask you a question.
Sure.
Since we're talking basketball and you're a North Carolina fan yourself, I mean, you know, you come here for the wrestling, but stay for the cigar and the liquor.
Oh, and before you get too involved in that question, sir, I'd like to congratulate you on your bracket buster. Your 5-10 pick with JAMU.
Yes, sir.
So thank you for that. College basketball, you can make some good picks. Wrestling pay-per-views, another score.
Dude. The Midnight Riders is digits. I would have thought Jason Pierre-Paul would have made digits. But zing. Here's a question. Have you had Michael Jordan's scotch? What is it, Sincoro? Have you had that?
No, yet? I have not yet. I have not had that. I've really seen it. So if it does come up, I will try to grab some. These two were part of the order that I wanted to get for Black History Month that never came in late. So that's part of that selection. Let's see.
Well, let's zoom
nice
in.
Nice nose.
Wait, we got to get the legs. We got to see if we got legs. Hold on.
Yeah, does it have? Let's check for legs here. Yeah, we got some legs developing here. You know, nice viscosity on that. Nice nose. No bite. And this is a. -92 proof, so it's not that strong. It's pretty good though. Has some scotch notes, like it might be have some barley to it or some hops, kind of like it drinks like almost like a scotch.
Okay.
So. Interesting. But it's good though. It's really good. Not too bad. I like this selection. And it pairs pretty well with this cigar tonight. So
there you go. So we got a win.
Stop it. Sorry.
You'll mess it up trying to segue to the man's segment here. You ruined it.
Sorry, guys.
Had one job. Keep your hand off the keyboard. One job. So now that he's lit it up, pause, and got it all poured and taste tested, this is about that time where we go all up in that Nubianism. The first time you saw that.
Oh, and a pause, by the way. Going up, you ain't going all up. You ain't going all in to put all up in my Nubianism at all. We are not having that.
Exactly, KG. Exactly. One sip, but he had already lost his mind and his faculties.
He the one said it.
You ready to do your segment? I paused.
You paused.
True.
Oh, wait, they said you can't say pause no more.
What do you say now?
Why not?
You gotta say no Diddy.
Yeah, I saw that.
No Diddy.
But see, Teddy Riley gonna get mad.
Hey, what's up? Hey, V Williams, how you doing? Glad Teddy you can join us tonight.
Because you know that's too close what's to no Diddy.
Well, yeah, that's true.
But whatever. Just go ahead. What about no are they gonna do no what's his name? TD? They're not gonna do that one.
Nah, not that I heard of.
That's not a thing yet. Oh, okay.
No, that's not a thing yet, because folks still want to be swallowed. They want to be swallowed up. They want to know how it feels to be swallowed up.
Oh man, I'm gonna have to talk Jesus about that one. Well, before we go there, because you're talking about, you know, KG boy Diddy, take that bad boy, take that. Did y'all see the thing about, you know, the greatest rapper of all time being mad at Dave Chappelle? Because technically he's the greatest rapper of all time, but his career got derailed because of Chappelle Show. Did y'all see that?
Yeah, I saw that.
How do y'all feel?
I want to know why your boy got to be lying.
And didn't he say in the making a band that he spit high five?
Yes. Right. That's what I was thinking at. I never said it. I never said I spit hot fire. I'm like, no, you did. Why would he say it if you?
All of them did. That was their little tagline about the spit hot fire. KG, you wanted to say something about the world's greatest rapper?
Well, that's what Dave Chappelle, nobody knew who the hell Dylon was. And nobody was talking about Dylon like that until Dave Chappelle did that skit.
Right.
Well, they were talking about that. Well, they were talking about the band as a whole. They weren't talking about Dylon specifically yet.
And the thing is, if you want to be technical about it, Dylon was the weakest link out of the whole band. Because he wasn't no chopper, and he damn sure wasn't Babs.
He was
the weakest one out of the group. And you talking about no? Ness was the reason why you couldn't. You couldn't go on.
I thought Ness was the weakest one.
Nah, Dylon was.
Yeah, Dylon was the weakest one.
It was Ness. Ness was the third. But Chopper was the best.
Maybe y'all just hating. He was spitting some hot fire, man. I'm telling you,
Chopper was the one that came with.
We say Kate Sumo.
Chopper was the only one that actually came out with a record.
Did he?
Out of all of them. Yeah.
So wait, he's the only one that came out. Aren't there two choppers?
No.
Somebody else that came out with something that was.
A year ago. We're talking about came out with a record after the battle.
Yeah, I'm like, you know, I remember that chopper. Then somebody else came out, you know, called Chopper. This is like, is that the dude from the band? Finally? And what happened to Babs? I thought she was supposed to be, you know, getting put on with Bad Boy, and then she disappeared.
Well, none of them got put on, really. Yeah, none of them did.
Is that name a good thing or a bad thing?
Didn't Chopper come out with No Limit? Under No Limit?
I think he was for a minute. I have to look that up.
Yeah, he was with
Fine. I remember that. Yeah.
I think he got with No Limit after the band was over.
You think it would have been better if Dylon would have like linked up with Shaggy or you know somebody else instead of trying to go solo.
If he could have, according to him,
because that'd have been before Chappelle Show. I mean, when the band ended, they had at least maybe what a year or before that episode aired. So I mean, he could have linked up somebody possibly.
Yeah, but that's what he was saying. Like after once that hit, you know, nobody wanted to touch him.
Oh, he
same way as
team.
Same as Kwame. Same as his Kwame gave when his career so-called ended.
Who you talking about? Kwame the Polka Dot Prince?
Yeah, you know he blames his career ending on Biggie, right?
No. Oh, because of that line in the song. But Kwame, he wound up going and writing for people. Like he made so much money writing and producing.
Yeah, but he says his career, his own career actually ended because of that line Biggie had.
I can see that because guess what?
Now, why he chose not to snap back? You know, most rappers, if they feel like they got dissed like that, they would have came back.
Well, we know why, because you know, Puff wasn't having that, not at that point in Biggie's career. He ain't want that smoke.
And then here's the thing, literally, it's something to discredit Kwame anyway. So you kind of just got to take your L in private, and then you know, he found another way to make his money though.
All right, so let me ask you this. I know we're going off the wrestling rails. We apologize. But, you know, when we talk about the greatest rapper of all time, sometimes you got to pause for the cause. Could Dylon say the same thing if social media at the where it is now existed? Do you think that he could have emerged out post-Chappelle show?
No.
Really? Even with TikTok? You don't think you could, you know, just be out there rhyming and spit hot fire or rapatum ting, you know, all that stuff. You don't think you get all that out of there on TikTok?
You actually have to have, see, no, if he would have came out 2015, 2016, Dylon would be probably one of the best rappers in this generation because that's these
kids. That's what I'm saying. If we had, so you're saying it's the time period, not the media.
Okay. Because if we think back on that, we were still in the era of loving lyrics and lyricists. There's a difference between being a rapper and a lyricist.
Right.
See, Big Daddy Kane, Rakim, Nas, those are lyricists. Ice Cube is a rapper. It's nothing wrong with either one. You do what you're good at. And I always say, KRS-One is a lyricist.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody wants to be a lyricist anymore. Nobody wants to be a rapper. Everybody just want to have hot beats. I heard Kodak Black say it. He was like, it's not about the lyrics, it's about the beats. Don't nobody want to listen to a bunch of, you know, lyrics, it's about beats. That's what get everybody going. And he was absolutely right. If it's got a vicious beat, you can say, look, I play with the crust between my toes, up my nose, be banging these holes, and melt. Yeah, man, that's a move right there.
As long as the rhyme flows with the beat, that's all they care about.
Is that the rapper's fault though? Because you gotta think about it. That's in our DNA. An African beat or you know the 808. You know that thing is jumping. You know that's in our DNA. So it's gonna take over. You know, 90% of the black population, no matter what.
But see, when you think about your hottest rappers right now,
Dylon.
No, hotter than that.
Party Dylon.
When you got
sexy Dylon.
when you got rappers Great talking Dylon. Nonsense and everybody's loving it, that's what's gonna get forced down your throat.
Right.
But then when you got I heard a few people say this on social media, but I'm not gonna say heard them say it, but they put it on social media. When Beyonce came out with a new album, they was like, well, I hope she's not talking none of that protest stuff. I don't want to hear that. I want to shake my ass this summer. I had somebody tell me they don't like J. Cole and Kendrick Lamar because they're too conscious and they make them think.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to do that, man. I want to sell dope in my car at 9 a.m. in the morning on my way to work. But you don't have the heart to do it any other time. But the music makes you want to do that? Really?
Well, there's one song out there that makes something want to happen. I'm sorry. It's the truth. But the moment you hear Annie Up, you know it's about to go down. Like,
but that's different. That's our generation.
I know, right?
That's like when you heard the Rough Riders the Rough Riders anthem for the first time.
KG, don't feed into that.
What? It's don't the feed. Truth. Come on
that
now.
Annie Up the M.O.P., man. Shoot.
Come on now. James, he's a Southern boy. He is Southern boy, so like, go ahead and talk Southern boy.
Think about the song. Think about the beginning of that song. What's the beginning of that song?
Yeah.
John Cena. He said that. That's why he said that. Mr. John Cena Mark.
That is true.
Thank you for bringing it up.
That's all.
Thank you for bringing us back to wrestling. I appreciate that. But if you're going to take something, can you blame Cena? That's a song right there. You're about to get some hustle, hustle, loyalty, and respect. But
didn't Cena go gold? Didn't his album go gold?
Of course.
I think it did. Yeah,
we also got The Rock a billion-dollar career, but you know how that goes.
And The Rock then appeared on plenty. Him and Wyclef Jean? It doesn't matter.
Ain't about that, man. I'm just mad we got that man, made him a billionaire off of Haku Machete. That's all the man said. How much that couple? Well, what was it, like $650 back then to go to the movies to see the
Mummy Scorpion King?
No, Scorpion.
Well, Mummy 2. That was Haku Machete was Mummy 2. Well, then they made the Scorpion King.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, about $650, $10 for popcorn and soda, and the girl you with. You know, that's all that was.
But here's the thing, and I know we way off the rails. If they would have ran with that and made a Scorpion King 2 with The Rock and brought every Kelly Hugh and everybody, brought everybody back, Michael Clark Duncan, but you made it a little bit more dramatic to show where the fall happened and it led up to what happened in The Mummy 2, you'd have been great, man. Because The Mummy 2 was a great movie.
It was. Shout out to Brendan
Fraser. The Mummy was a great movie. Mm-hmm. Let's just say that. But if you would have did that just right, you drop so many things where they dropped the ball.
I agree. And definitely the first ball was dropped in CGI.
Yes. Should,
like, for real, I know what you were trying to do. I would have rather you do one of them artistic things where you tell a story in black and white and some drawings or something. But, you know, or get it right. Get that James Cameron money. And then, you know, CGI it up. If The Rock was an avatar, it'd be huge.
They didn't think that that nobody would buy it. Nobody, because you know they were scared with The Mummy 2 and going with The Rock. But everybody went to see The Mummy 2
because of the Rock. Power of the
what machine. Was his screen time? His screen time wasn't even a full minute.
No, it was 45 seconds. Trust me, I was pissed. I'm like, man, next thing you know, he got the glasses on. I'm a movie star. I'm like, whoa, buddy. I need some of my money back. Now he don't. Then he disappeared. I'm out in Hollywood. You only gave us one damn line.
But the thing is, he was making several movies after that.
So who do you respect more? Bringing it back to wrestling. Sorry, folks. This is what we do. You got The Rock. Says his one damn line. We support him, make him a billionaire. He's off gallivanting to the point to where even John Cena's taking pot shots. You're welcome, James. Do you respect that more? Or do you respect, we'll say The Miz, because I won't say John Cena, because The Miz has done more of them. The Miz doing, was it, 6 or 7 Marines, but never missing a beat in reference to leaving the WWE. And in addition to the Marine, did the challenge, competed in it, and then hosted a couple seasons of the Road Rules Real World Challenge he hosted at. And then he did the challenge twice, and then he was part of one, but he never left. So who do you respect more?
You got to give it to The Miz. Who's the first? The first Marine was John Cena, right?
Yeah, so I said we take John Cena out because, you know, The Miz just did more movies of that series than John Cena. So that's why
I'm here's the thing, though. Cena out. The Miz,
all of them, he did, didn't he?
Yeah.
It's a movie is a movie. So did See No Evil. Well, See No Evil was in theaters, but it went to DVD pretty quick. But that was a hell of a good movie. Oculus was a hell of a good movie and went to DVD pretty quick too.
Oh! Oculus was a WWE produced movie. Mm-hmm. I went to see that in the movie theater.
That thing was good, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Freaked the mess out of you, boy, especially when she was eating. Thought it was an apple. And eating the thing. Actually, as I'm thinking about it, that was Karen Gillian who played Nebula. And I think that was probably one of her earlier or beginning career movies. So, you know, we launched the career of a major character in the Marvel Universe.
And thank you, everybody, for joining us for WWE Movie Talk.
At some point, it's WrestleMania. But, you know, that's what we do. It all comes back full circle. But, Sumo, you didn't answer. Miz, more respect, or are you going to put some respect on The Rock's name for what he did?
I'll go with The Miz. I ain't giving The Rock nothing.
Dang.
Wow. Nothing. That's how you feel about Rocky?
Come on now. He was a tooth fairy. That was actually, he got that a lot of hate, but that was a good movie.
Time out.
You ain't like the tooth fairy?
No. I love The Tooth Fairy, but I don't think anything was better than The Game Plan.
Oh, yeah.
The Game Plan, I'll watch. The Game Plan can be on in the middle of the day. I'll watch The Game Plan and just do anything.
I'd say his worst one to me was Rampage. Just because it didn't give me the feels. You know, that's a hard movie to take as a video game adaptation. So he was already up against the wall. But that, oh gosh, the one with the earthquake.
Skyscraper.
No, not Skyscraper. It was the earthquake where he had the daughter and he was the helicopter. San Andreas. Now, I went to see that. I'm not going to lie. I was just like, this better have some Grand Theft Auto in it. It was actually a pretty good movie. I like that one. A lot of people hated on that too. But yeah, it was Rampage for me was the one. Jungle Cruise was good. What was the other one? Jumanji. I thought he did good in that one. Some of those, you know, off the cuff, not, you know, major films. And what was the one he did with Sean William Scott?
The Rundown.
Rundown, yeah. I think that was good. That was early, right after Scorpion King, right? He went from Scorpion King to Rundown.
Yep. Because I remember they previewed that on, I want to say that was an episode of SmackDown on Raw. Yeah. They previewed it. And then, you know, he had Walk and Tall. Be Cool. Yep. I think Be Cool showed his acting range.
Finally, yeah. But up until then, everything was driven by the WWE universe. He will pop in, you know what I'm saying, get us all riled up. We go to the theaters, major box office release, boom. Then he disappeared for 8 years. Maybe once in a while you get a little smell of what The Rock is cooking, and then he dip again.
But, oh, let's not forget the... his appearances on Star Trek when he was in the battle scene. He rock bottomed somebody in the battle scene.
Yeah.
And yes, Midnight Rider, we're doing rock filmography. Welcome to the WrestleManiacs on WWE film.
People sitting there and discuss. What? What? You didn't know that that's just Nubian had a film?
No, that was last week.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was last week. Yeah.
All right. I'm glad. So I guess if we're going to really take things down to brass tacks, then we have to be honest and true to ourselves and say this. Nubian Sumo, this was technically your segment. But in true fashion, we out of time. No, I'm just joking. But go ahead. You know, we should do a What's Up. You guys see What's Up with that, right? On Saturday Night Live. We all not seen that segment? No?
I haven't watched Saturday Night Live. Mad TV.
I don't watch.
Did you say Mad TV? You taking it back? TV. Oh, wow. Shout out to Will Sasso.
Yes. Midnight Rise.
Is the best movie? Is that
Kevin Hart with, he was a was spy. That, who's
the mic? Not I Spy. It was, gosh, that was just one the other day, too. I think Kevin Hart made that movie more than The Rock.
I heard they had a falling out, too.
Well, you know, things happen.
What the hell is that about?
You know.
Well, I mean, Kevin, how many movies did they do together? I mean, you can only do...
They did, what, four? You know, like, four movies together. They did about four movies together, I think. Because they were just, you know, knocking them out. A couple of them was through the... Actually, speaking of movies, the hell with all that Rock talk. What y'all think about Happy Gilmore 2 being announced?
It's not going to be the same. What are you going to do? What are you going to do?
He's got to come back. You know, Grandma's gone. Chubbs is gone. Bob Barker's gone. He may have to fight Drew Carey. Or he may have to get to a fist fight with Terry Crews.
The price is wrong, bitch. That's if you give me that, I'm back.
That made it right there. But it has to be a comeback story, you know, or it could be about his kid. He could have had a kid. And, you know, now he's got to, you know, train his kid up to go out and avenge him or something. It could be done. I believe in Adam Sandler.
Yeah.
The only thing I'm worried about seeing right now, is getting ready to come out, is this new animated series based off of Good Times. Yeah, I'm worried about that.
No. Yeah, I am very worried about that.
I don't know about this.
I will say this, though.
You can't.
There's some things you just leave alone.
I'm gonna leave it up to y'all. I want you to say it or not, because you know these days people may look at you kind of crazy. Oh, Central Intelligence, yeah, that was it. But you know, those that watched the OG Roadhouse with Patrick Swayze, that was a movie.
Yes, that was a movie. It's remake.
You didn't like the Jake Gyllenhaal version?
I haven't seen it. I don't want to see. You don't touch classics.
It's actually, honestly, not that bad.
That's okay.
The only thing that they stayed true to the original was Roadhouse, being a Roadhouse, and the name of the main character. Everything else, they did their own thing. But I will say, if nothing else, watch for Conor McGregor. Conor McGregor killed in that movie. Just watch it. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, let me. Mrs. People Choice says Central Intelligence was the movie we were talking about. The Midnight Rider.
What the hell? Put that picture back up. What the hell going up in here? Who you? Don't you be out here makeup and stuff, showing people some colored lips? What kind of shit is this? This is stuff that get us in trouble.
The kid from Big Daddy or his style from First
Name. 2-1
Unicorn. Midnight Rider, but I can wipe my own ass.
See?
And People's Choice said, don't hate.
Oh, we hate that right. I can't take my clothes off. You can't no, be you out can't. Here putting the no, sexual healing lips on. Shoot. Mm-hmm. What kind of shit is this? Tired of this, mother suckers. Either way. Watch the daggone movie. Conor McGregor did a good job. And I'm not, you know, a mark for McGregor or anything like that. Or even was like a big fan of his fights or whatever. But in this, he carved out his niche. He could do that and maybe a returning Van Damme movie. And I think it'd be all right.
See, you know what's going to wind up happening? They're going to remake something like No Holds Barred and ruin it.
With Omos is going to be Zeus?
That's nah, you got to get somebody that nobody moves right now.
Well, actually, think about that. Omos is Zeus and John Cena or Cody Rhodes would be Rip. No?
I mean, it was a great movie.
Come on now. You know, Tony's scared the crap out of you, man. With that Z in his head, you ever wanted to go see that movie so bad as a kid? They're like, he's gonna kill Hulk Hogan. He's gonna kill him.
But then all the vignettes, they tied it in with the vignettes and him showing up to WWF. That was great. Oh, yeah. That was great marketing.
Between that and Over the Top. Remember Over the Top? Tell me you didn't want a kid cry as a kid when you know you thought he was gonna lose and he went ahead and wrapped that finger around the thumb at the come on, man. Come on, man.
Mrs. People's Choice says McGregor did good in the movie.
See, I'm not lying. I'm just telling you like a T.I. is.
Look, my mother's a big Roadhouse fan. My mother loves the movie Roadhouse. Oh, yeah. If she tells me it's good, because that's one of her favorite movies, she tells me that this remake is good, I'll give it a shot.
There's a lot more action than the original. The original had a stronger plot line for the heel. Speaking of wrestling terms, I'll put it that way. So it's a stronger plot line that way. But, you know, overall, I think technically McGregor was the bigger heel than the actual rich guy. But it made sense by the time he got done with the movie. That's all. So James is like, I don't even go outside to movies and stuff. I ain't got time for that because I got a job. I got a cigar. I got a drink, a T-shirt collection, and some lotion. So
hold on.
Wait,
Midnight Rider says, wait, you can't ruin No Holds Barred. It was awful the first time. As a kid, no, it wasn't. I haven't watched it as an adult.
That's right. Ben came out at like, you know, he was born at like, what, 25? So, you know, he didn't have all that kid stuff. He go jump in here on that one. He can't.
Plus, I wasn't really a fan of No Holds Barred anyway. I was more so with all.
Because you wasn't a damn kid at that point, James.
I was more so Ready to Rumble.
Right, now, Ready to Rumble more?
Was my move.
Really? Now,
I can agree with that.
I'm a fan of Jimmy King.
I will reign supreme.
Yeah.
I have
Jimmy King.
See, the only problem with Ready to Rumble is when they crossed it over into WCW and made David Arquette champion, you sullied the championship. You don't let somebody that's not in the business win and hold the belt.
So how would you rewrite that? If we go on there, we might as well go there.
The movie was great, but as far as the build-up?
How would you rewrite that moment in time? If they're going to do it for real, who's going to walk out with the championship? Arquette could be still in the match, but who would you put the belt on?
Well, if you're doing it to promote the movie, then you put it on DDP.
Not Goldberg?
Nah, not Goldberg.
See, that's the problem right there.
He was sitting beside Rosa Parks. He wouldn't give up her seat. Okay, Granddad Freeman.
That's messed up.
Hey, she was all right. She needed to sit down. She wasn't going far. She was just going around the corner.
You know that's messed up. That's some chivalry that's totally missed out in that. Wasn't it raining that day or something? She was tired. She making, you know what I'm saying, you know, cakes and stuff for Massa. And you couldn't let her sit down, James? That's all I'm saying.
Hey, look, she was in the front of the bus. I was in the back like I was supposed to be. She was the one that was rabble-rousing.
Oh, that's now right. Midnight Rider being he.
Oh, snap. Well, we're going to have to move on. We're going to have to move on. He going into it now.
Martin had his, right?
See, I haven't talked to him today, but he's been real mean to me today. So
he chose violence. He woke up and chose violence today.
Oh, I believe he did, and I'm like, damn, dude. But I don't know what I do. Why are you coming after me?
I don't know, but I'm gonna say this though before we move on, and that's just Nubian. Y'all talking about Coretta? You talking about Rosa? But Harriet Tubman had them track legs. You know, she looked like Bianca Belair. I'm telling you, she could run. That's all I'm saying. Just leave that there. Them thick old thighs and the daggone potato dress. Come on now. See, I ain't mess with y'all. So you don't say nothing because you're scared. I'm just telling you, you know what I'm saying. She's going to take you to freedom.
Me and Scotty are abstaining from y'all.
Scotty.
Yes. Say it again. Please stop it. Moving on.
Hey, don't you have a segment?
I thought I did.
And ain't talk about nothing.
Hey, this is your fault. You want to do rabbit hole,
and a rabbit hole it was.
That's what she said. That's just me, you know. So I guess Sumo, at some point, maybe now,
I'm not even look, just come on, let's go.
Hey, if we're gonna go there, let's call a spade a spade. There was no
electricity. You put it up, so that's your fault.
If you blew out the candle, it's real dark in there.
Nope, let's go. That's just Nubian. Come on, we got stuff to talk about.
It's real dark. Come on now. Matt, I can't see nothing.
Y'all something else, boys. So, yeah, all y'all going to hell. All y'all going to hell. And gasoline draws.
Mm-hmm. So, allegedly, you have a segment that you need to do, according to the ticker down below. So you're more than welcome to go ahead and prep us for all the information that we need to know from around the Nubian world and then bring it back.
All right. I guess I could throw a couple of things together for y'all. We'll go ahead and start with...
It's been a while. Sorry. I forgot how funny that was.
Only to you.
Yeah, it was pretty funny.
Only to you. Only to you.
Man, it never gets old, I'm telling you. The look on your face.
First time you did it.
The look on your face. If this wasn't a clean show, then we've been clean all show, right? Just a double check. KG, we've been good, right?
Yeah, we've been borderline.
We're good. Right, yeah. We're good.
We're about a Law and Order episode. We're good. I'm sorry, Law and Order SVU. So we're all right. Okay.
We're right on that grain of sand on hitting the line. So, yeah.
No, there could be some nakedness by the end of the show.
Even your wife said you're going.
Well, I mean, you know.
She would know.
Yeah, yeah. Be a nice trip.
She around you all the time. You a lot more than me.
Gotta make sure you know my bags are packed at least. Gotta have a sandwich or something. Mm-hmm. And a juice box. At least make sure I go with a sandwich and a juice box.
Okay. So we'll go ahead and get started with New Japan.
You want to say something so bad.
We'll go ahead and get started with New Japan, where they just finished their New Japan Cup run, their tournament, on Wednesday morning. It came down to the finals that happened Wednesday morning, where it was old school versus new school in the final. Hiroyuki Goto, who's a three-time winner of the New Japan Cup, wound up going up against the new upstart by the name of Yota Tsuchi, who has been considered by New Japan, the organization, as one of the new three pillars of the company, along with Ren Narita and Shota Umino. Those are the three that they're going to be concentrating on as far as bringing the new, bringing the New Japan where they need to be over the next 10 to 20 years in the company. They did have the final, and Yota Tsuchi wound up beating Hiroyuki Goto to win the New Japan Cup, which gives him the right to face his fellow Los Ingobernables de Japón partner and leader, world champion Tetsuya Naito, at Sakura Genesis on April the 6th. Which they've already put that card together. So starting out, the first match will be Ryosuke Taguchi against El Desperado versus TDMK, which is Zack Sabre Jr. and Kose Fujita. Then it'll go on to the second match, Los Ingobernables, being represented by Bushi and Hiromu Takahashi versus Bullet Club War Dogs, Gato, and David Finley. You'll also have Just Five Guys, Doki, Yurima, and Sonata versus United Empire, Callum Newman, Great O'Conn, and Jeff Cobb. You'll also have a match for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team Championships, the Bullet Club War Dogs, Clark Connors, and Drilla Maloney, former champions, versus Catch 22. The current champions are Connors and Drilla Maloney. Former champions, Catch 22, Francisco Akira and TJP, part of United Empire, and the Galactic Jet Setters, which is Kevin Knight and Kushida. Going on to the next match in that card, the Bullet Club, Chase Owens and Kenta, will be defending the IWGP Tag Team Championships against Hiroyuki Goto and Yoshihashi, the former champions known as Bishimon. You'll have the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship on the line. Champion Sho versus Yo, which both of those were former tag team partners in one of the Chaos organizations, and they are now rivals now, with Sho being part of House of Torture and Yo being a part of the Chaos faction. So you also have Shota Umino and John Moxley, who'll be going up against the House of Torture members Ren Narita and the newly minted Jack Perry, also known as the Scapegoat. Yes, this is the same Jack Perry that was Jungle Boy in AEW. There was speculation that he had been fired from AEW, but that's not the case. They just have not been using him since his suspension. He's still under suspension. And apparently the rumor is, or the rumor and innuendo, is that Tony Khan is very upset with him at the fact that they wound up losing CM Punk because of the incident that happened during that pay-per-view with the car gimmick and the glass, sending somebody through some glass on a car windshield. Yeah, pretty much. He's getting the Triple H treatment, definitely. Next matchup on that card, which is the eighth match of the card, the NEVER Openweight Championship, Champion Evil with the House of Torture going up against Los Ingobernables, Shingo Takagi. And as I stated, the main event of that will be Tetsuya Naito, World Heavyweight Champion, defending against the New Japan Cup winner, Yota Tsuchi. Now, as I said, that is going on April 6th, which is WrestleMania weekend. There have been some cards that have come up that will be in surrounding the WWE events, or blended in within the events. One that I wanted to bring up was going to be happening on the 5th of April. That's going to be happening an all-day affair in the 2300 Arena, or the ECW Arena. They will be having two shows with Battleground Championship Wrestling. The first card will start at 1 o'clock, which will be called the Born to Die event. Where they'll be having they've got some matches here. Fala Ba, who, if you may remember from Impact Day, the TNA Impact days back in the day, him and in a wrestler named Beastman will be going up against Brian Myers and Swoggle. You got Crowbar, who used to be in a faction with David Flair,
yep,
and Daphne back in the day in WCW days, going up against a wrestler by the name of Facade. You got Lance Anoa'i versus Rich Swann. For the Battleground Women's Championship, you got champion Danny Moe, who is a valet for Facade, who's only been actively wrestling for a couple of years now and has a few championships under her belt, including the OVW Women's Championship at one point, going up against Miranda Gordy. And if you recognize that name, Miranda Gordy, this is the daughter of Terry Bam Bam Gordy. Mm-hmm. And if you want to know a little bit more about her, she was featured in the last Dark Side of the Ring that came out on last Tuesday, where they were talking about her father was the feature on the show, which is a very good show. So if you want to learn more about Terry Gordy and his life within wrestling and afterwards, you can go check that out. For now, we'll be going up against Wrecking Ball Ligursky, in a three-way match, PCO versus Matt Riddle versus Jake Something. And in the main event, you have their Battleground Championship match, which champion Brian Kendrick will be going up against Lince Dorado for the title.
That'll be a good one.
Once that card is over, there's going to be a meet and greet, or what they call in the Battleground block party that will be going on from 4 o'clock to 7 o'clock. And then they will have another start that night at the arena for which is they're calling the Tribute to Extreme 2, which will feature a lot of old school matches from based off of ECW matches. Team 3D will be going up against Asushi Onita and a mystery partner that he's bringing from who knows where, probably was hopefully from Japan. Yoshihiro Tajiri will be going up against Super Crazy. Al Snow will be wrestling in a match against the franchise Shane Douglas with Max, with Francine at ringside. Tuco Scorpio will be going up against Juventud Guerrera. In a six-man street fight, you'll have the Baldies going up against the Pitbull Revolution. And then they said there'll be other card, other matches of superstars announced for that card. So as far as the meet and greet is concerned, they will have Bully Ray and Devon there for signings, as well as Onita, Missy Hyatt, Tajiri, Jake Roberts, Tuco Scorpio, Masha Slamovich, Super Crazy, Rhino, Henry Godwin, Francine, Danny Moe, Doink, and Dink.
Wow.
As and many others that they have yet to announce. So
that should be
that could be an interesting. Both of those cards could be very interesting. I mean, if you're only looking for wrestling, like if you go a day, something during the day or for one day, you know, that would be your way to go because you got everything there, right there in one sitting. You know, you got two different wrestling cards right now. They did have a platinum ticket and a gold ticket, which is already sold out. They have a silver VIP ticket, which is like $200. But they probably give you both shows and a pass to the block party. The block party by itself is $10. So, I mean, just to go to the block party itself and give some autographs and rub elbows with some of the wrestlers and whatnot, you know, $10 isn't a bad deal. And then there's a Battleground Fast Pass they have for $100. So, I mean, it'll be something good to do for like a day shit, the day thing. Just go there for the day and then come back, and you don't have to deal with a whole bunch of craziness, you know, as far as everything else is going on.
Is it streaming?
Wrestling. I don't see where they are doing any streaming, but if they do wind up streaming it, I will let you know if I find out, and I'll bring that up. As far as usual, GCW will be doing their thing like they do every year. Hold on a moment, because okay, there it is. All right, so it looks like they have 4, 8, 9 matches over the course of 3 days that they'll be putting on. They are adding a couple three organizations that haven't been dealing with them in a while up to now. So let me go through those cards right quick. On April the 4th at 11 o'clock to start everything off, Defy Wrestling out of Washington State will be having a show. Some of the matches on that card will be a three-way dance for the women's championship. Vert Vixen, their champion, going up against Sawyer Wreck and also Trish Adora. You'll have a trios three-way dance, a group called Sovereign, Evan Rivers, Judas Icarus, and Travis Williams will be going up against a team out of Dragon Gate, Shun Skywalker, Ben K, and Ho-Ho Loon versus C4XCK, which is Cody Chung, Guillermo Rosa, and Casey Navarro. Now, Casey Navarro is an independent darling right now because at this point in time, he is holding 5 different championships in 5 different independent organizations. So he's putting in work right now. CCK, which is Kid Lykos and Kid and Chris Brooks, will be going up against the Moonlight Express, which is Speedball Mike Bailey and Mao. And then for the Defy Championship, Kenta will be defending the championship against Gringo Loco. Then on Thursday at 4 o'clock, you'll be having Josh Barnett's Bloodsport 10. It's a one night. They'll be having a one night four woman tournament with Janai Kai, who is the MLW lightweight champion right now. Marina Shafir, Lady Frost, and Lindsay Snow. You have Eric Hammer versus Lou Nixon, Minoru Suzuki versus Royce Isaacs. Josh Barnett himself will be in the ring against Johnny Bloodsport. Guess who that is?
Mm-hmm.
John Hennigan.
Yep.
Mr. Johnny filling the blank wherever organization he's in. Nick Nemeth will be going up against Speedball Mike Bailey, who is, you'll be hearing that name a lot, just like you have in the past with these GCW WrestleMania weekend events. Mike Makowski versus Akira. Timothy Thatcher versus Axel Tischer, you may know as Alexander Wolf, formerly of Sanity in WWE. Fuminori Abe versus Kayuka Nomura. And what's looking like it's going to be the main event of the evening, Masha Slamovich versus Shayna Baszler.
Yep.
So they're giving Shayna Baszler a pass to get it to be involved in this match, in this card. I heard it was a real big deal that Josh Barnett is real good friends with Triple H. And they came up with a deal in a situation where this could happen. It has happened in the past where Jessamine Duke was part of a past blood sport and some other WWE wrestlers have been involved with the blood sport card in the past. So we'll see how that goes in the future, if that continues. Okay, so one of the newer organizations, Defy being the first one, DDT is now involved with DDT out of Japan, now involved with the collective, the Chia. They have a lot of different matches that are going on. Nick Wayne from AEW will be involved in a match, in the tag team match on this card. You also have Brian Keith, who's been showing up on AEW television a lot, who's just really recently signed with them. You also have Mike Bailey in a match on this card, as well as no rules match for the DDT Universal Championship. Mao, who is in a match that I've already announced, versus Billy Starks. Billy Starks part of AEW and being one of the minion for Athena on the Ring of Honor. So that match is going on at 8 o'clock on the 4th, on Thursday the 4th. Then at midnight on Thursday, you have JCW versus GCW versus JCW and GCW versus the world. What it is. So you have you have a lot of folks in here, like Jordan Oliver from GCW, who'll be involved. The Garbage Daddies, which is Alec Price and Cole Radick, who are GCW, and one called Manders, who is part of the Second Gear crew, who's been going MLW and GCW here a lot recently. You got Masha Slamovich, who's in a title match against Siri for the JCW World Championship on that card. So that'll be an interesting card. Then another new organization, Tokyo Joshi Pro Wrestling, will be who's all female organization out of Japan. They'll be involved in this. You got Riho, who's going to be in a match. Billy Starks is in a match on this card. Let's see. You got Max the Impaler, your current NWA World Television Champion, who's in a is in a tag team match on this card, as well as Maki Ito, who is a very popular Japanese Joshi Japanese wrestler, who is very raunchy, very controversial. You know, likes to do a lot of cussing in her promos and, you know, all kinds of crazy stuff. But she's gonna be tagging with Miyu Yamashita.
She would fit in right here.
So, oh no, she's very popular in GCW, very popular in GCW and some of the smaller independents and whatnot. So she's very popular in the United States. She gets big pops when she comes in to wrestle in the United States. So, you know, a lot of people look forward to seeing her. Progress is now joining in with GCW for the collective this year. It's interesting that Progress and Defy, like I said earlier, will be merging into one company. So you're going to have Progress as a company out of the UK joining up with a company out of the United States in Washington State. So they will have a presence here. So you'll be getting a lot of those guys from Progress that'll be coming over here to wrestle. Let's see, as far as the matches that they have on here, Ricky Knight Jr. will be going after the Progress Atlas Championship against Yoichi. Ricky Knight Jr. is part of that Knight family with Saraya and Zack Knight with AEW. So that he is a brother of theirs. You got Sanity, Axel Tischer, who is, like I said, the former Alexander Wolf, and Big Damo, the big guy that was with Sanity. They'll be going a three-way tag team match for the Progress World Tag Team Championships. You got Riho, who's going after the Progress Women's Championship, who's their champion at this time. So this is going to be that should be an interesting card for you to catch up with on. That's April 5th. That's April 5th at 3:00. Then you have Joy Janela's Spring Break, which is a very popular card on the collective roster. Matt Cardona will be going up against Blue Kane, which is exactly what you think it is, a guy in a cane outfit that's colored blue. Blue Kane. Okay. Loco versus Volador Jr. The East West Express, which is Jordan Oliver and Nick Wayne versus Mike Bailey and Mike Bailey versus the Rock and Roll Express, Robert Gibson, Ricky Morton, and Ricky Morton's son Kerry will be in that match. It's a Dragon Gate 6-man tag team match. Dragon Gate Classic, Yamamoto, Dragon Kid, and KZY versus Shun Skywalker, Ben K, and Kota Minura. So I hope I pronounced that right. Another match is going down that'll be interesting. A classic match for one of these guys, because he used to do this all the time in Japan back in the day. Minoru Suzuki and Masato Tanaka versus Rina Yamashita and Masha Slamovich.
Really?
So it's an all-female tag team versus an all-men tag team. Minoru Suzuki used to be in these all the time back in the day. That's how Asuka got put on, you know, because she used to be in a lot of matches like this against Suzuki. Aja Kong used to get into back in her day used to get into matches like this with Minoru Suzuki. You know, there was a lot of women wrestlers back in the day who would go up against Minoru Suzuki just so they could say that they're tough enough to be professional wrestlers. Because Suzuki is a shooter. So right. He's not gonna he's gonna stretch you. He's gonna beat on you, and he's not gonna be light on you just because you're a woman. You asked for this, you got it pretty much.
Right.
And then for the GCW World Heavyweight Championship, Blake Christian, your champion, goes up against Joey Janela, person who put this card together. So that'll be at 8 o'clock on Friday, the 5th. And at midnight on Friday the 5th, you have the For the Culture card, which is pretty much the all-black card that they usually have on these shows. So you got Team Myron, which is Myron Breed, Ruckus, Darian Benston, Devin Monroe, and Calvin Tankman versus Team Dollar, which is AJ Francis. Yes, that AJ Francis from Get Row, Top Dollar, Isaiah Bronner, Keita Murray, Kerry Yaki, and Mr. Danger. Then in a ladies' night scramble match, Maya World versus Jada Stone versus Jocelyn Navarro versus Maserati versus Janai Kai versus Tierra James. In a four-way match, you have a tag team match. You have TME, which is Duke Davis and Gannon Jones Jr., the Kings of the District, Eel O'Neill, and Jordan Blade being female. Thick and Juicy 3.0, which is Brooke Valentine and our favorite, Faye Jackson, and also Killionaires Club, which is Jay Bougie and PB Smooth. You also have two posts.
You said Thick and Juicy.
Thick and Juicy 3.0. Now, there have been three versions of Thick and Juicy, all with Faye Jackson. So, Brooke Valentine is this version. Yes, there she goes. Thick and Juicy number 2 was with Willow Nightingale. And I cannot, for the sake of me, I cannot remember who the first version was, who the name of the second girl in the first version was. But when you say Thick and Juicy, they live up to the billing.
let me say this. You said Thick and Juicy. You said Willow Nightingale, right?
Yeah.
I boo jive you not. My oldest son watches wrestling sporadically. He saw Willow Nightingale. What was that? Royal Rumble. He was like, yeah, I follow her on Instagram. That's my girl right there. I was like, oh. Oh. Okay.
Wait a minute, Royal Rumble?
Was it?
No, she's not. This is Willow Nightingale.
I'm sorry. I showed him Willow Nightingale in a clip, and he was like, yeah, her. But it was another one from Royal Rumble that he was like, he followed her. It wasn't Royal Rumble. I can't remember who it was. Caden. That's who it was.
Or Caden Carter.
Caden Carter, yeah.
Caden Carter was the one from Royal Rumble. And he was like, yeah, it's another one, too. And he pulled up Willow Nightingale, was like, yeah, her, too. He's like, those my girls. I said, you might have to play the Super Bowl about that. So I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I don't know if he ready for this work over that one.
You gotta fight the sumo for that. I ain't got nothing to do with it.
A lot of smoke he talking about when he talking about her now,
But I tell you, he really loved Caden Carter. That boy loves some Caden Carter.
That's one Filipino piece of niceness right there, yeah, no doubt. So going on with the card, you got Too Cold Scorpio going against Frontman Ja. Man Like Darice, that's his name, versus Sunny Kiss. You have Billy Dixon versus Darius Carter with a special guest referee, Darius Lockhart. And those are three, and those three are very synonymous in the world of black professional wrestling in the independent scene. So, you know, Billy Dixon is more is kind of like your it's kind of like your black independent version of John Moxley. Darius Lockhart would kind of be like your Randy Orton type, and Darius Carter would be kind of, how can I put him? Kind of a rich guy, kind of like an MVP type.
Okay.
When it comes to character, because he's this real arrogant rich guy, you know, former athlete type, you know, wound up getting a lot of money and, you know, got a smell of himself, that type thing. So, and what I'm thinking will be the main event, even though the Billy Dixon, Darius Carter match could be the main event for the Pan-African World Diaspora World Championship, will be defending his championship against the former MLW World Champion, Alex Kane. So, then that goes into Saturday morning for Effie's Big Gay Brunch number 9, where you have a lot of different matches in here. Those that will stick out in my mind right here, Dark Sheik versus Sunny Kiss, Sawyer Wreck versus Max the Impaler. For the Ultraviolet Championship, Rina Yamashita versus Billy Dixon, which will be female versus male. And then also it's not for a championship, but it should be the main event. Bussy, which is Alley Catch and Effie, goes up against Dirty Breeze, Dirty Dango, the former Fandango, versus Tyler Breeze and Tyler Breeze,
yeah.
And so they're back together as a tag team. It has been said that Tyler Breeze is trying to get back into the ring. It hasn't been said whether or not he'll be getting back to the ring with the WWE, but there is talk of him maybe getting back together with getting signed back as a wrestler for WWE at some point. So we'll have to see how that goes.
Yeah, he'll probably go to NXT. They could use a character like Tyler Breeze in NXT.
Then you have GCW versus Tokyo Joshi Pro going on Saturday at 2:30. Some of the standouts on here will be Sawyer Wreck and Alley Catch versus Mizuki and Nayo Kakuta. Billy Starks and Jinai Kai versus Rina Tatsumi and Miyu Watanabe. And Rina Yamashita, Masha Slamovich, and Maki Ito versus Mayu Yamashita, Shoko Nakajima, and Yuki Aino. There you go.
That's a lot.
I'm working it out. And then GCW JSB Cluster Forever. Clusterbuck Forever is the last card on Saturday at midnight. Interesting. They only have two matches that are listed here for this, and I can see why. Because one of the matches is an 88-man cluster muck challenge match.
Jesus.
An 88-man cluster muck match. Okay. They only have two names listed right here. The American Giant, whoever that is, and Dink.
All righty then.
Now, the other match they have, oh my goodness. Violence Forever, which is Dominic Guarini and Kevin Koo, who are former GCW tag champions. Jacob and Zilla Fatu which are, you know, supposedly members of the Bloodline, the Bollywood Boys, Garv and Harv Shearer, which is the twins that used to be in WWE
mm-hmm.
back in the day. That used to be with what's your guy's name?
Jinder Mahal.
Jinder Mahal and Los Macios, which is Cyclope and Medio Extreme. And all of these guys are in a to match for the GCW World Tag Team Championships, of which Fighters Forever is the current champions. Guess what kind of match it is?
A death match?
Punjabi prison.
Ding! A Punjabi prison match.
Wow. Get your bamboo ready.
So that's the full schedule for GCW Collective. Like I said, there's a lot of interesting matches within this card, within these cards. A lot of really decent cards within this collective. If you can catch any or all of them, good luck to you. They usually stream these. They'll probably be streaming them through Fight or through Bleacher Report. So you can check those to see if they're available to you. You'll also have your WrestleCon going on with all the meet and greets, autograph signings, things of that nature. I haven't heard if Starcade or Starcast, rather, with Conrad Thompson is going to be involved this year. So I'm not sure about that, but there is room to move as far as you still got a couple of weeks for them to announce something if they are going to do something. So I'll keep you posted as much as I can up until such time as WrestleMania is going on.
There you have it. As always, this time of year, it's a lot going on. We got two quick things to cover. I know KG wants to get something off his chest in reference to two of our favorites. So, KG, Bianca letting Bayley have it.
Well, if you were watching SmackDown last night, Bianca came in and saved Naomi from a beatdown from Damage Control. Backstage, Bayley seemed like she was trying to apologize to what was going on. And, you know, Bianca wasn't trying to hear it. Some people say, in my Michael P.S. Hayes voice, Bianca is about to turn heel, and it's going to be a hell of a run when she turns heel. So,
wait a minute. Hold on before you get going, before you continue. Now, wasn't it last week on Raw that Bayley got jumped and the crowd, they were in Nashville and Bayley got jumped and the crowd was hollering, was screaming for Bianca to come out and help her and she didn't show up?
I'm trying to say Bianca going to be in charge of Damage Control?
Nah.
I ain't saying that at all.
But quickly, keep an eye on that, because I remember the People's Choice Don Rodriguez called for a heel turn for Bayley, and when it happened, magic happened. It's magic. So keep an eye on that. Next up, last but not least, Jay Cargill signs the SmackDown. Let me ask you gentlemen a quick question, because we up against it. So let me ask you a quick question. With Jay Cargill going to SmackDown, you have your Raw Women's Champion, you have your SmackDown Women's Champion. Would it be feasible to create another belt, like a United States Championship, like a Intercontinental Championship? Would it be feasible? That way, you have something else for the ladies to compete with, which I've been calling for years. But would it be feasible now that you have so much star power on the women's side with your Bayleys, your Biancas, your Becky Lynch's, your Natalia's, you know, your Naomi's, you got so much star power, and then you got the younger ones coming up. Would it be feasible to create two more belts, one for each show, maybe even one at NXT, so call it three, for the women to compete to, that determines your number one contender? And if the belt means what it's supposed to mean, number one contender. Thanks for taking my call. I hang up and listen.
I would say it would only make sense. You can't do it right away because that's what they did for Jay Cargill. So you're basically copying AEW. They made a belt for Heather Carey, basically. So it would have to be something down the road. But also, and we'll see. I think Subo may agree. You would have to make one champion overall that would bounce back and forth between the two. We got the tag belts already just traveling all over the place. So one women's champion only, one tag champion only, and then you can establish the workhorse belt. But if you just throw a belt on both brands just to have it, it's not going to mean anything. I'd rather them be joining forces with somebody and go after the tag belt than just win a belt that we just made just so that way we wanted to make it. That's my thoughts. Sumo?
Yeah, I agree. The one belt would be enough. I don't think it'd be necessary to do three belts. I mean, if you want to do something like that, you can do what they were originally going to do with the NXT championships and let whoever the champion is in NXT cash in for the women's world championship or the women's WWE championship. Let them cash in for it. Make it an option C type situation like they do with the X division belt in TNA. So, which would be interesting because then you can have anybody come out the woodwork and be like, you know, I'm about to coming into a pay-per-view. They just came out of a match and then all of a sudden here comes Liar Valkyrie coming out of the woodwork with a referee and talking about, I'm cashing in. You know, you never know when that's going to happen. So, yeah, I would do that. I would be cool with that. But and if you want to put a secondary title in, just have one and have it go in between all three shows. Do it that way.
I'm cool with that too. That way the women would be different in aspect versus the men, you know, cuz everybody's vying for, you know, one of four championships, I guess. If they added another one, that would make the fourth. But, you know, I agree with James that NXT just being your money in the bank. So you wouldn't need a women's money in the bank ladder match. That NXT championship would be that. And then that would also help elevate NXT. So it wouldn't be looked at as just a third wheel. It would actually become something, at least from the women's perspective. So you can backdoor the women's evolution by just presenting it differently. And I think that will go over well. So, yeah. Who would have thought at the end of the show that Sumo and I would have come into agreement on a concept? Ain't that something? Ain't that nice? Now, another thing we agree upon, even though we've been very clean, is that I can say wrap that up. But Sumo, how are you going to end your part?
I don't know. I'm still trying to come up with a new one.
Well, can I say something? And then I'll turn it over to you gentlemen to get us out of here.
Yep.
I just want to thank everybody for joining us for WWE Film Study, WrestleManiacs on Film, WrestleManiacs on Rappers. WrestleMania. I mean, hell, we went what 40 minutes before we started really talking about wrestling because we just talked about life. And here's the thing: when you dealing with the WrestleManiacs and the sideline junkies in general, you're gonna get a daily dose of life. You're gonna get some life lessons. We had cigar talk, we had whiskey talk, we got music, we got movies, we do it all. We are a broad spectrum of a podcast. So thank you for joining us.
That's right. And next week, we're going to talk about something that, you know, has been a favorite of ours for a long time. And it's not Patty's Pies. It's that pancake.